Okay, Genesis chapter 20. We got past Lot last week. Chapter 20 starts with Abraham again, and we see this incident where he traveled into an area of the Philistines, was concerned about Sarah, his wife. Actually, he was, I guess, more concerned about his own well-being, and therefore, again, did the same thing he's done before, this time to Abimelech, the king or ruler of that area, said to him, "This is my sister." Abimelech decided to take her into his whatever group of concubines, harem, whatever you want to call it. God says unto him, verse 6, we talked about this a little bit, in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore I suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet." By the way, this is the first time we see this word prophet in Scripture, and it's interesting that prophet here talks about an individual who just shares God's word, not necessarily prophesying of the future. Anyhow, it says, "For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee." We see this come back into play later. "And thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." So Abimelech gets a wake-up call. Says, "Be careful what you do. Don't touch Sarah. Actually, I've kept you from coming to Sarah to preserve that." Says, therefore, verse 6, "Abimelech rose up early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their eyes," or excuse me, in their ears. Yeah, told them in their eyes. That'd be interesting. "And the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin?" Interesting that Abimelech uses this word sin. I'm sure that he knew what the word was, but interesting that he used that word. "Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." So again, Abimelech calls Abraham first thing in the morning, not to apologize for bringing his wife into his group of wives, however you want to call this, but to say, "Hey, what did you go and do this to me for? I'm innocent. I knew none of this was going on. You told me," and we'll keep going here. "And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou that thou hast done?" In other words, why would you do such a thing to me? Why did you tell me these things, that she was your sister and not your wife? And look at the mess, basically, that you've gotten me into. God came to me in a dream and told me, "I'm going to die if I don't give you your wife back," which I didn't know she was your wife. So it's interesting here. "And Abraham said, Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they shall slay me for my wife's sake." Same thing that we saw Abraham deal with before. Verse 12, "And yet indeed she is my sister." So he tries to explain his way out of this. "She is the daughter of my father and not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife." Here's an interesting tidbit of information, verse 13, when we get here. "And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house." So he admits that God called him, and he's been wandering from his father's house by the call of God, "that I said unto her, my wife, This is thy kindness which thou shalt show me at every place whither we come. Say of me, he is my brother." So apparently this was Abraham's plan. I don't know why he came up with this plan. Maybe he thought that was the only way he was going to save his neck. It's interesting that Abraham seems to, in many ways, live by faith. in the things that he does. Yet for some reason, he can't get past this. When I travel in a new country, somebody's going to slit my throat to take my wife. He doesn't seem to be able to get past that. And sometimes we look at Abraham and say, come on, why can't you get past that? But as Scripture is given to us for our learning, sometimes there's things that we can't get past, right? Sometimes we can trust God. You know what, God, whatever my health is, whatever I go through health-wise, it's up to you. I'll trust you completely. But when it comes to my finances, I'm going to deal with that. Or I can trust you in relationships with other people and how that works, but I can't trust you when it comes to whatever, certain areas or certain situations. We seem to do the same thing many times. Pastor.
For me, that's the blessing of Scripture, mm-hmm. us having it. Yes, these are our heroes of the faith, mm-hmm. but I am so thankful God did not...
Sugarcoat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He showed reality. Mm-hmm. And he shows us that our heroes, they were human beings, mm-hmm. just like we are.
Right.
And we all have areas that we have to struggle in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it encourages us to look at our lives and see if there's areas that we need to improve, that we need to trust God more, because he doesn't. God is dealing with imperfect people, right? Yes. We're all imperfect. We all fail. We all don't trust God in situations where we should. And so we can't fault Abraham too much, because God does work with imperfect people. Yet even the father of his people had faults, and we see that, but we can be encouraged because God can still use people. Even though we fail, even though Abraham failed, God didn't say, okay, I've had it. You know, you failed twice doing this. I'm sure he doesn't hope. I'm glad he doesn't give up after we've messed up twice, because twice would have been a long time ago for me. But so we continue on. Verse 14, and Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. So Abimelech not only gives him Sarah back, but gives him this gift of men servants, women servants, livestock to enrich Abraham and maybe try to, you know, make peace. I mean, after all, if you get woke up in the middle of the night with a dream that says you're going to die if you don't do this, I think Abimelech was pretty much God had gotten his attention, and there was no way he was going to not do this. In verse 15, and Abimelech said, "Behold, my hand is before thee. Dwell here, where it pleaseth thee." Interesting that Abimelech doesn't say, like the Pharaoh did, go. Yeah, leave. It's interesting, we talked about this last week. Abraham at this point was a rich individual and had livestock and cattle and servants. And it may well be that Abimelech still felt that it was a good thing that Abraham lived in his country, because he could see that, for one, that God is with Abraham, and God did not allow Sarah to come unto him, and therefore it would be a good thing to have an individual like that living in my country. And unto Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and all others." Thus she was reproved or reproached. It's interesting here. A couple different commentators didn't know what to make of this. Basically, the fact that he is your husband and God is with him is enough for a covering to protect you from other individuals, whatever they may see. So let's continue on. Verse 17 then says, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. So apparently God had afflicted Abimelech with some kind of disease. Something was going on in this situation. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So God, again, protects Abraham, even though he blunders in this situation. And God has, again, blessed through Abimelech and through this event that took place, has blessed him with more in God's wisdom here. Chapter 21, and the Lord said, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Before we go on, interesting, this verse, what do you see here? Do you see anything?
God's faithfulness to his word.
Okay. God's faithfulness to his word. What does it say here twice?
He did what he said.
Okay. He has done what he said. We'll see that he's done what he said in his timing, maybe not what they desired, but God had said and God had spoken, and now he has visited Sarah and done unto her what he said he was going to do. Which is, God keeps his promises. God is faithful to do what he says. And again, timing is up to God, not up to us. But God is faithful, we see here. How long has it been since God originally had told Abram?
25 years.
25 years they had been waiting for God to fulfill this promise that he had told him back then. God is faithful. He didn't forget, but his timing was not Sarah and Abraham's timing necessarily. Verse 2, and she conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. And again, dealing with time, it's according to God's time, not according to Abraham's time. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, who Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Anybody know what Isaac means? Laughter. Interesting. We'll see this come up again here in a minute. Laughter. Who laughed, by the way? Sarah laughed. Who else laughed? Remember? Abraham laughed, right? It was a different situation, different laugh, but they both laughed. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded. So Abraham was following God's commands. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born, which means Sarah was 90. Sarah was 10 years behind Abraham. And Sarah said, God had made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And again, this laughter here is a laughter of joy, an expression of joy, that God has done what he said he was going to do. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in my old age. This is, you ever hear the saying, 10 years ago, if anybody had ever told me that, ever hear somebody say, use that phrase before? So that's what Sarah is saying here. If years ago anybody ever said that I'd had a son and could nurse a child at 90 years old, I would have told them they were crazy. That's basically what she's saying here. God in his...
That was true.
And that was true, yes. And again, we talked about this before. Many times, God's timing is not our timing for a reason. What could be the reason that God allowed them to wait so long to have children?
So
he's in control, but it proves that
only God can do it.
This is of God. This is not just, by the way, they had a child late in life. This was way past childbearing years, way past that possibility. Yet God brought that about because of his promise. And it's only because of God that Isaac was born. And actually, Abraham had more children later, but we'll get to that when we get there. And she said, oh, yes, I read that, verse 7. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast that same day that Isaac was weaned. This is probably, according to custom, 2 to 3 years later when he had this feast. And Sarah saw, verse 9, saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Anybody know about how old Ishmael is at this time?
13, I think.
I think he was 13 when he was born, or when Isaac was born. I think he's 16 or 17 now, so right in that range. At this time, this about 3 years later, so give or take, we don't know exactly when. Interesting here, this has come back to haunt Abraham again, hasn't it? Up to this point, we don't know specifically what the situation was in their household, but before Isaac was born, that was Abraham's only son. And he raised him as his only son. Maybe knowing that another one was coming and trusting God that that would take place, but still, it was his only son. So you know that he raised him as a beloved child, right? Just like you would your children. It's not... well, let's continue on. We see that Ishmael was mocking or making fun of Isaac. Does that happen among brothers? Sure it does. Maybe fueled by, in this situation at least, the fact that Isaac is born. Isaac's now 2 to 3 years old. We see that Abraham is going to give him a big feast because he's a growing child, and we know that he's the son of promise, or the son that's going to inherit this promise. What do you think Ishmael's thinking at this time?
Jealous.
Yeah, exactly. I've been the only son for 13 years, and now that my little brother, apparently, or half-brother, is 2 or 3 years old, now Dad's throwing him a big feast, and he's going to inherit all this. Where does that leave me? So you could see, humanly speaking, Ishmael was kind of stuck in this situation. I mean, after all, he was the son of the handmaid because who insisted? Sarah had. And now this conflict has come back. I don't know if that conflict was always there. It seemed like maybe Sarah never could care for Ishmael as her own son, but we don't know for sure. But this situation has come back, and Ishmael is now mocking or making fun of her son. And of course, once you poke at baby bear, mama bear kind of jumps into action, doesn't she? Wherefore she said unto Abraham, and here Abraham, it comes back to get you again, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. With who? What did she say? With who? Yeah, before that, she says two words. My son. So we kind of get a hint of Sarah's attitude right here. This is my son. That's not my son. He's heir. That's not heir. It's time to get rid of him. Obviously, Abraham has grown to love this son that he had. We even see in the past he's stood up for Ishmael when talking to God, but God said, no, he's not the one. He's not the son of promise. So Abraham has got to deal with this and doesn't know what to do. And this thing, verse 11, was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Again, I've had a son for 13 years before I had another one and still have this son, and now you want me to take and kick him out. So you can see the difficulty that Abraham's going through. And again, goes all the way back to decisions he had made in the past, right? Sometimes those decisions, the consequences linger on for years. And God said to Abraham, so God comes to Abraham and said, let it not be grievous in thine sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman in all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. So he says to Abraham, go ahead and do what Sarah said. She's right this time. Don't worry about Ishmael and Hagar. I'm going to make of him a great nation, or make of him, a nation, because he is your son. So God promises Abraham that don't worry about it. It's not like they're going to wander off in the desert and in a week they're going to die. Don't worry about that. I'm going to take care of them. And Abraham rose up early. So Abraham, the next morning, rose up early. So he didn't put this off. He didn't delay. He followed what God had told him to do. He rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. We're going to see that name Beersheba in the area a lot lately, or coming up here. Interesting here. Abraham was, what did we say a little while ago as far as his possessions? He was wealthy. What did he give to Hagar? Water and bread and water. Here's some bread and water. Go. Interesting. He could have sent a supply train with her. He could have sent whatever, a mule loaded down with supplies. Interesting that he sent water and bread. And that's all he sent her out with. Maybe he understood, because God had said he was going to make a nation of Ishmael, that God would provide for them. It doesn't tell us exactly, but it's interesting to note the supplies that he sent out with them. Verse 15, and the water was spent in the bottle. In other words, they drank up all the water, and she cast or placed the child under one of the shrubs. And again, we see here child, we think of, you know, a toddler, don't we? But again, he's a teenager, 15, 16, 17 years old at this point. She places him under a shrub, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. So she placed him under the shrub here and went and sat over here. She didn't want to see. Apparently they were in a situation where the water was gone, the food was gone. She felt they were going to die. It's interesting that even where they were at, she probably could have easily made it to another settlement or someplace with the supplies that Abram had given to her. But for some reason, she had been wandering around that area. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Where? Go ahead. Right. Okay. God cares for mankind, doesn't he? Whether it's part of the promise, part of the Abrahamic covenant, his chosen people, or not. God still cares for mankind, and he took care of the lad. Where do you think this body of water came from? I mean, they had been looking around, right? And they had run out of water. Interesting, was it that she just hadn't noticed the water there? Did God just miraculously provide water? It doesn't say, we don't know. Could have been that she hadn't noticed, maybe just over the next rise, who knows? But God provided for them and gave, supplied their needs. I'm looking for... the divine being here that says, verse 17, an urgel, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called out Hagar. The angel of God or the angel of Jehovah here, he is called angel of Elohim. The reason for this change from before, Jehovah is God's covenant name, and Hagar was in the first instance still under the roof and protection of before, under Abraham. Now, however, she has become a stranger of the covenant of promise, and therefore the name of God which is used is the name associated with creation and power rather than redemption. So in the original text, you would see the name change here under the angel's description. The angel of God is in a different name here, and this one refers to God as the God of creation and of power. In other words, I can supply your needs because of who I am. And God was with the lad, verse 20, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran with his mother. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Where was she from? Egypt. She was a handmaid from Egypt. She was Egyptian. So when it came time for her son to marry, she found him a wife out of Egypt. How did they survive? He became a what? An archer. Therefore, he could supply food for he and his mother, and God had supplied them with water. God provided for them even through the ability to become an archer. So God cared for them. Verse 22, and it came to pass that in that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. So what's Abimelech? Abimelech comes to Abraham and says what? Okay, yeah, basically. And what else does, it's interesting, what else does he say? He says, swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal what? Falsely. Abimelech remembered what took place, didn't he? It made an impression in his mind, and he says to Abraham, don't do that anymore, okay? I want to be friends, and we'll see what he's talking about. He wants to make a treaty with Abraham here. We've seen today Abraham in his faults, Abraham in obeying God. And again, we need to look to ourselves to see in our lives where we fail to live by faith and take heart that God still can use us, still wants to work in our hearts and lives, even though we fail, but we need to work towards keeping that faith. Go ahead.
What's amazing is I was pretty close to that area down there. I got a picture of a gazelle eating, standing on its hind legs eating olives out of the tree.
Yeah.
So just amazing when you look around, it's all
But there's...
Gazelle is the size of a deer.
Yeah. There's still places to find some type of food supplies, yeah. Okay. Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.